We got to make some decisions about what we're doing. So I'd appreciate your input. But if nothing else, come back and eat and hear about what we're doing and see where you could maybe plug in and become a part of it. So we'd be glad to have you. Of course, this week you need to be praying for Ben as he's going to be, they'll be doing, him and his group will be doing Spirit Wars. The camp for the kids starts tomorrow. And well, I'm sure we'll see a promo about it here in a little bit, but it's going to be great. And the last couple of years, every time we thought, well, this is the amount of kids, and then there was more kids than that that showed up. So be in prayer for them as they attempt to lead the kids, and ultimately hope that they experience some decisions this week during their camp as well. So do definitely be praying for them. If you would please stand with me, we're going to do our read and respond, and then we'll turn it over to the kids. That's on the first page of your bulletin on the inside there. It says, what happens after death to those not united to Christ by death? At the day of judgment, they will receive the fearful but just sentence of condemnation pronounced against them. They will be cast out from the favorable presence of God into hell to be justly and grievously punished forever. We get that from John 3:16-18 and 36. It says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together this morning. We thank you for the chance to get to see the kids up here and their worship. Lord, we just thank you that we have so many kids in our church, that you continue to refresh the waters of your people. And we continue to see more and more generations come through this place. Lord, thank you for blessing us as a church with that privilege. And help us, Lord, to raise them well in you, both as parents and as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, just bless our time together. Bless our service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. If you would please take a moment and shake hands and welcome somebody here this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good. times it's you I see. I put you first, that's all I need. A humble all I am, all to you. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. You're the only one. You're the only one, you're the only one that I could live for. You're the only one, you're the only one, you're the only one that I could live for. You were always, always there, every how and everywhere. Grace abounds so deeply within me. You will never, ever change. Yesterday, today, the same. Forever till forever meets the way. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for.
Roaring like a lion, roaring, roaring, roaring. sit with them today, okay? You find your parents, if they can't see you, wave.
Good morning. Good morning. All right, so we now have a deacon phone. That way it's all the same number. You don't have to memorize multiple numbers. That's it. So give us a call. If there's a need that you have, it doesn't matter how big, how small. If you just want to talk to somebody or somebody pray for you, just don't feel bad about calling anytime. So please do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. We just thank you for all the wonderful opportunities that we have. Lord, we ask that you would be with this offering this morning. Please be with the gift and the giver. And just let these funds be used to glorify you and your kingdom. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen.
Good morning. If I go ahead and get Ben and Mark and Rick, if they'll come on up. I wanted all of us up here because I wanted us to be able to properly illustrate just how important our next generation is to us. Sometimes I think we take it for granted that we our kids, and you know, we think to ourselves, we just want to do a kids program in our church or have something for the kids, which we do. We want to have that. But it's important to me to remember that there's more to it than just simply that. I titled it, How Important is the Next Generation?, mainly because that was the way the question came in to me. This is the fourth of our Ask the Pastor messages. And this was basically probably my highest actually asked question throughout was, how important is the next generation? And what are we going to do with them? I put the 414 window and disciple making up there because they all go together. But that 414 window, I'll explain a little bit more in a little bit. But Proverbs 22:6, of course, is a verse we're all pretty familiar with, and it says, if you train up a child in the way that they will go when they were old, they will not depart from it. Well, sometimes it's hard for us to reconcile that with some of the things we see in our culture, but we have to remember that it says, train up a child in the way they go, or the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Because for whatever reason, we tend to have that rebellious phase in our lives from somewhere around the time that we turn 13 till the time we turn around 25 or so. I read a quote one time that said, I was surprised how smart my parents got from the time I turned 13 till I turned 25, because we all think our parents are stupid when they're... I probably should have come up with a less bleating word than stupid, but we think they're not. They don't know anything. We know exactly what we're doing. But there is a season in a person's life when they're most open to learning what it means to trust God. It's a season sometime between 4 and 14 years old when people are more moldable than they will ever be at any other point in their life. It's the reason why our education system focuses on a very similar time period. It's because kids are very malleable during that time. We have a great opportunity to reach them during that time. Nearly 80% of people in our churches today decided to follow Jesus before the age of 18. 80%. I didn't choose to follow Christ till I was 32. But I'm a rare example. Most people in churches today decided before they were age 18. As a matter of fact, 50% of them decided to follow Jesus before the age of 12. It tells us that children are extremely important to the mission of God. It tells us that we should be very excited about the fact that the future pastors and missionaries of this church were standing up here on stage, jumping and singing the songs a little bit ago. You know, sometimes we forget that part of it, but when we talk about our kids going away to college and getting a great degree or whatever it is, but you know, they can go to college and become a pastor, or they can go be a missionary. They can use the job that they're going to go to school for and eventually move to another place and be a missionary for Christ there in their secular job even. And we can't forget that that's a big part of what we as a church are supposed to do, is help them realize that. That it's not all secular choices they need to be making. That there's an awful lot of spiritual choices that they can make. Remember, it tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. What is rooted in the heart of a child is almost impossible to uproot in the life of an adult. Sometimes we take a look at that and we think, I don't know about that, but I promise you from a counseling perspective that probably 90% of what I deal with in counseling is what happened to you as a child. That's the reason why counselors try to take you back in your childhood, because an awful lot of what we do in our childhood impacts us for the rest of our lives. Sometimes it's the thing we're trying to get over the rest of our lives, and sometimes it's the thing that carries us through for the rest of our lives. As spiritual leaders and believers, we should want our children to come up in such a way that they have something rock solid to go back to when the world begins to shake them. And that's that faith that we hope to impart to them. Henrietta Mears said, when you look at most churches, their programming, their staff, and their budget, it appears that children must first become prodigals, then we will go about putting together elaborate programs and events to save them. You should read that again while I'm talking, but basically what it means is that a lot of times in churches we put together an awful lot of things that are focused at meeting needs of adults. It's like our children have to leave the church, then we'll put together something to go get them. What if we did that backwards? What if instead we put our resources and time into reaching our children before the world tries to carry them away? So, why is the next generation so important to you? Now, at this point, I'm going to hand off to these three and let them talk a little bit just to tell you who they are, because some of you may or may not know. This is Ben Carmichael. He is our PrayStation leader. He's the one that put together the video that you just saw. He's the one running the camp this week. He has quite a few volunteers back here with him. Julie, which is Rick's wife, is also back there with him every week. And that's why you may not recognize them, because they're not in here. So it's important that you know who they are and who the people are behind the scenes. And I wanted them to share their heart with you about why kids are important to them. You have Mark, who is, of course, our youth leader. You've seen him speak here. If you've been here very many times at all, he just spoke a couple weeks ago, as a matter of fact. And then, of course, Rick, who's in our worship leader. But even though he's in the worship leading part of it, several of our kids are up here helping with that aspect. And it's one of the first places some of them plug in. Plus, he's been around here a long time, and he knows the church. And and as a result, he came up through Fairlawn. This church became a constituted church in 1970. He has basically been raised in this church in one way or another. Next year, by the way, we celebrate 50 years, so you'll see some interesting things we're going to do next year to kind of commemorate what God has done in the 50 years that we've been here. But I wanted them each to share, because I want you to know that it's not just something I'm passionate about. There's other people equally or maybe even more passionate about those kids than I am. And it was important to me that you hear from them. So, I don't know, Rick, you want to start, and then we'll come back this direction and
Jason sort of alluded to it, you know. I mean, I was that next generation that we're talking about at one point. Coming through, of course, back when I was a child, the children's ministry was different back then. But still, you had a youth group that we did youth Sundays like what we do right now and all that. But I joined the adult choir when I was in ninth grade, started there, started singing solos and all that. But, you know, now I look at it, you know, I'm in that 50 to 60 age group range now. And there comes a point when, you know, Rick has to stop it. I knew I should have just stood up and walked away. No. But, you know, there comes a point when what I'm doing up here in front, I'm going to have to hand off to someone.
Right.
And so that next generation that's coming up, you know what, they are the church today. It's just that we are still mentoring, leading, and I don't think we ever lose that job.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what our age is, we are still here for that generation below us when they need us. But if they don't, let them do it their way. Hopefully they'll be willing to listen to maybe some advice. But we also need to give them the freedom to branch out as well.
Okay. I guess from my perspective, from a youth looking at it, we got involved with youth ministry about 10 years ago, mainly because we thought it was fun. And my wife was actually the one that encouraged us to do it. And when she said, let's go do this thing, I was like, are you crazy? You want to be with a bunch of teenagers? I mean, are you sick in the head or something? Which I would say there is a little bit of truth to that. You got to be halfway crazy. But why is it so important to me and to Amber? The big reason is kind of what Ari's been said this morning, that they are the future. And I know looking back over just my lifespan, how the church in society has dwindled. And whether that was one thing you can point to or just many different things over time, Christianity as a whole, unfortunately, has dwindled. And if we are not investing in our future and being intentional investing in their lives to raise up this next generation, then how much more is it going to dwindle? And so our heart and our focus is really on the youth and the young ones because, you know, they are the future, whether that is a church or whether it's something else. And so there's a lot of importance in that. And then also from a personal side of it, you know, we have two young kids as well that we want to raise them up in a home, obviously, that loves God, but also in a church that is all about God and all about kids and children and the youth ministry. And so I think everyone in there can agree of how important they really, truly are to us.
Well, it stinks when you go last because everybody takes your answers. So now you're sitting there thinking in your head, how could I put my spin on this? So, but very similar to what they've said, I started in children's ministry back in actually the very first year me and my wife came here in 2006, and no one's kicked me out yet, so I'm looking for that person. No, just kidding. But why is the next generation so important to me is, like you said and these guys said, it's important because, yes, they are future church leaders, future church pastors, children's leaders, but also they also are the future voters. And they are the future leaders of our country as well. So
amen.
When you base it on, when you look at what we're teaching in church and what the world's teaching outside, that's why it's so important for us to really crack down and get the word of God out to every child that walks through this door.
Amen. Amen. For me, it goes back to this passage. And it's Mark 10, 13 through 16 says, "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms, blessed them, and laid his hands on them." It's important to us, and it should be important to us, because it's important to God. From this passage, we see several different aspects of why it's so important. But the most is the fact that it was important to God. He talks about the heart of children, the innocence, and the way that they come to faith. They come to faith in a way that as adults we struggle with because of all the troubles and trials and struggles that we go through. But from this passage, would any of you three or all three like to offer something you see in those passages as well, in that Mark passage?
Well, I think a lot of times, I'm not trying to, you know, be negative, but there are a lot of adults that kind of push the children aside as not as an important group because they're not, they don't have the voice that they an adult would have right now. But to God, that voice is just as important. And, you know, like Rick said, he's in his 60s, and he's still. And God still sees him as a child.
Yeah, that's right.
Just as much as he sees my son or
he's
Cooper.
He's not the only one that still sees me as a child, but anyway.
Well, your parents must be 90, but anyway. But God sees Rick and these kids here just about the same. They look at their children to him, and that's the way we should see it too.
Yeah, agreed.
I would also add to the raise the child up part. Whether we realize it or not, somebody is raising our children and teaching them the way to go. Mm-hmm. And we have the choice as a church and as family members, are there going to be ways of the Lord, or are we going to let society teach them and train them the way to go? With social media, with cell phones, with so much technology out there, it is so easy for especially youth students to see the ways of the world. And it can be enticing to them to see all this cool stuff or funny stuff or things that other people are doing. And so we really need to be intentional to get in that as well and show them the ways of the Lord, because if we're not teaching them, then the rest of the world will teach them, unfortunately.
Kids also have a way of breaking things down and putting it into very, very simple words. I'm on the other side of the parenting thing now where, you know, Jalen is off to college and she's sitting down here this morning. But, you know, we're on that side of it where we have raised her, and now hopefully she will go, you know, in the ways that we have taught her. And, but, you know, there were times when she was a child that I would ask her about things and all that, and I was expecting to get one answer, and I got another, and it was like, why didn't I think of it that way? And so a lot of times we think of children as they can't teach us. I'm telling you, sometimes they're the ones that we need to be listening to, because they take everything at face value. And a lot of times that's what that verse means to me as well, is, you know, Christ wanted to hear from the children. He wanted them to be around him and all that. And so we need to realize that sometimes we need to be listening to them. They need to be our touchstone at times.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's an awful lot of the time that we dismiss the conversations. It's always fun to me to sit down with kids either at Awana's or in a youth group or in other places and get their opinion or their feedback on what they like or what they don't like. And it's always different. It's a different perspective than adults, and some of it's because kids will just tell you. You know, where as adults we may not want to hurt somebody's feelings, or we may not say it bluntly, or whatever. The kids will oftentimes say it and say it just outright. I have to say that one of the things that was last week, we were leaving last week, and Easton, he comes up to me and says, "I'm going to preach next week," And in my mind, I'm thinking, I kind of hope so. I hope, not next week, but I hope at some point one of our children here is standing right here. That's exactly what I hope that happens with one of them. There's opportunities for that, and God's heart is for that. But youth and children's ministry seeks to place the life-changing message of Jesus in a context designed specifically for kids. And the reason why I put that up there is because sometimes we might wrongfully think that there's a large entertainment value, but the whole point behind it is to find a way, a contextual way, something kids and youth will identify with and be able to present to them that life-changing message of Christ and of the gospel. So, what types of challenges exist in your specific area that make it difficult to minister to the next generation? We'll start with you, Ben, this time, and you can take everybody else's answers that way.
Thank you. Well, I think you just touched on it also. It is difficult to, I mean, you think of the movies that are out there nowadays and the special effects they have, from the superhero films to everything they watch on YouTube. That's very excitement. It's kids love it. It's the iPad generation. So how do you make a guy named Jesus just exciting as what they're seeing there? And it is a difficult thing to do. You know, I know with my ministry and the team that we have, we kind of do kind of look to see what the world's into with the superheroes. We have Captain Faith and different types of things we've done. But it is difficult to get their attention. You know, and I understand for parents too. I mean, most parents, I shouldn't say most, but I know there's some parents that their iPad and YouTube raise them Monday through Saturday. So how do we get them off that to get them in here for 1 hour on Sunday? It could be difficult. And then we feel that in our ministry as well on Sunday mornings. It's that's the challenge we face there a little bit, just trying to stay irrelevant to a world that's just so entertainment factor.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus speaks for himself. I don't have to make Jesus fun. You know, he's Jesus, you know. But that's a difficult we faced, is just trying to compete with today's world that's taken away from everything like that. I think I said too much. Go ahead. I'm just saying the same thing over and over, so I'm going to stop. So.
I would agree. I think one of the bigger challenges from a youth standpoint is also technology. All of our youth students have at least cell phones or an iPad or something out there. And so those are great tools, but they can also be great distractions. And so we actually, in youth, have to where you can't use your phone or your iPad during our morning session. And a couple of reasons is to get them to hopefully pay attention, but also to actually open up a Bible and read the words from the book. So technology can be a distraction. I would say another distraction is making students feel that it's okay to open up. Because I think this also goes back to technology. Facebook or Twitter or whatever, a lot of times is filled with something great. You know, look at me, I did this. Or look at this, this is going on over here. And we're having so much fun over here doing that. And all this stuff that sometimes it makes it challenging for people to be real, to be honest, that, you know what?
Yeah.
Things aren't just always great. There are things going on in my life that I'm struggling with and I need some help. And so trying to keep up with the Joneses type of mentality, that can be tough at times. And then another way that is challenging is we want things to be fun. And so we have some times where we don't really do much but just hang out and have fun because we're teenagers and they need to do that. And they need to have that bonding as a group. But we don't want to lose focus that if that's all we're doing, then we're just a social club. And so we got to interject Christ in there. We got to be getting in the Word. And sometimes that can be a challenge because they're teenagers and all they want to do is have some fun sometimes. But personally, we've got a great group of kids, and it's really a joy and a pleasure to be able to work with them.
Mark sort of hit on this too, and you know, I've got the advantage that I'm a middle school teacher, and so I see a lot of what he's talking about with technology and all that. And you'd be surprised. Our rules are a little bit different at Blennerhassett. The kids are allowed to have their phones at lunch. Now, there are some middle schools that don't allow that. But you sit there and you watch our kids at lunch, and as soon as they get, they may not even be finished eating their lunch. They may be eating their lunch and playing a game or something like that. But their heads are down in their hands watching. They're not interacting with each other. And I'm really afraid that we are losing the ability to effectively communicate with each other. And that's something that, you know, we need to be aware of as parents or, you know, a few years down the road, grandparents or whatever, you know, that we need to make sure that we're communicating with our kids and having meaningful conversations, whether it's about your day or whether it's about what happened in youth group, or whether it's about what happened in Pray Station. Your kids are able to communicate that with you, but so many people, even in homes now, I'll never forget the first time that Jalen texted me from her bedroom, and I was in the living room. I think the scream from the living room was, "Say what?" You know, but that's what we think of now. Is that it's instead of, you know, going and talking to someone, it's easier just to send them a text and all that. And once again, it's a great tool, but we need to make sure that it's not the main tool and that we're actually sitting down and having those conversations. Because when I'm sitting across from you, there is so much more that you can pick up on than what you can from a text or what you can from a Facebook post or whatever. And so we need to make for sure that we're keeping things personal and relatable and all that. So,
yeah, for me, I think as far as from the pastoral standpoint, one challenge that is always there is finding good people that want to serve in those areas. We're blessed in the aspect that we have people that serve in those areas. But one of the other parts would probably be parental involvement in those things is always something that we fight a little bit. And I get a lot of times as parents, you know, we come in, and when we had our kids, we wanted to be able to take them back and drop them off, and that was the end of it for a little while. We got an hour and a half or so that we didn't have to hear our kids or listen to our kids. My kids were pretty good kids, but still, you know, a break is a break sometimes. But we have to remember that it can't always be a break. If we're going to invest in our kids, it means that we all have to play a part in that. And it means that when there's certain events going on or different things. We very heavily rely on parental involvement in order to, for that to be a success. You know, whether that's VBS or whether it's a PlayStation camp or whether it's chaperones going to youth or whether it's Awana's on Wednesday nights, whatever it is, we need parental involvement in order for that to be successful. So that maybe is one of the challenges that exists there. But what joys do you receive from ministering to the next generation? We'll start again with, this time we'll start with Mark. He's in the middle. He always ends up in the middle, so we'll start with him.
All right. besides the fun factor, which it is a lot of fun hanging out with them, and it kind of makes you feel like you're still young, and I'm not that old, guys, but it does help to kind of make you feel like you're still cool. So they are a lot of fun as far as doing games and activities, and you're learning things like that, so that's great. Probably the biggest joy that I have ever gotten is being able to teach in a small group, and you see it happen. You see that light bulb moment, like it just clicked.
Yeah.
They're getting what you're saying. Like they're having that moment of connecting with God, and you're part of it. And that is a great joy that is just, you can't describe the feeling that you have whenever that happens. It is awesome. And then another joy is being able to lead somebody to Christ. And sometimes you just get so worked up with excitement that you just don't know how to contain it. And then getting the opportunity to baptize some of them is just, again, beyond words. And so those are the greatest joys, and that's why we do this, is to have those moments.
Watching what happened up here this morning is a joy. Watching what happened up here a couple weeks ago with Wesley and Katie up here leading service. Watching Taylor come up here and play guitar and do that. Watching the kids taking part in the different aspects of worship and seeing that happen and all that. Those are the joys. And, you know, for the first time, you know, like you can tell, I wear many different hats, but Judy and I got to lead VBS this year, and watching those little kids come running in for VBS and all excited about what was going to happen that day at VBS, that's the joys. That's the fun. Planting the seeds, watching them as they mature and grow up, and then eventually finding their place. That's what you hope and you pray for, is that as you're bringing them through the church, is that they find where God can use them. And you know what? Honestly, folks, there's nothing wrong with putting some youth back there in the back at the sound booth and letting them try to figure that out. There's nothing wrong with putting some of the youth, maybe even on some of the committees that we have here at the church, so that we are training and we're mentoring them to take over.
Amen.
Those are the joys that we all can get out of this, is watching their, you know, just like we watch them find their place in the secular world, we can get that joy as well if we can get them plugged into the church as well when they're this age that they are now.
I'd have to say that, you know, the joys I received in the ministry is, I made a statement a long time ago that, you know, you could get your kid on the honor roll and they could win all kinds of awards in sports, but until the day that you got your kids and you know they're going to heaven, I really couldn't call myself a good father.
Yeah.
And of course, that happened two camps ago with my son, who accepted Christ at one of our camps.
Yeah.
There's no other joy than that. And when you called me and said, "Do you want to do his baptism?" I'm like, "What?" You know, and that was the first one there was 8 of them that day, but that was a joy for me, knowing that not just my son, but all the other kids that we've seen over the years that I've been with the ministry that have accepted Christ and got baptized, knowing that we got one more the devil didn't get.
Yeah.
He wanted, but we got him. We took him. We took him away. So that's the joy for me, knowing that we're winning.
Yeah.
I mean, we know we're going to win. We already know the outcome of this battle, right? But knowing that we got more players on the winning team is great for me.
Amen. It's for me, there's kind of two main joys to me. One is, I mean, it's great when you see the kids come to faith. Number one, that would be it. Whether it's youth or children's, and whether it's come from PlayStation, Havoc, or it's come from Awanas, or it's come from VBS, it doesn't matter. I mean, that salvation and understanding what that means for that child going forward, and what it means for a family and for parents. You know, I know what it was like to see both of my kids come to faith and be baptized, and what it meant to me, you know, and the security that came from that. But the other real blessing to me is watching other people, just like you were talking about with Colin and asking you to do baptism, and asking Mark to do baptism of the people that were involved in the youth part. It's because nowhere in Scripture does it say the pastor baptizes everybody. It tells us to go and make disciples. That's all of us, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if I want to grow additional leaders with me, part of that process is saying it doesn't always have to be me. It can be one of these guys, and they can do it, and they can be empowered to take their ministry in a direction that is different than what I might have taken it in. I mean, I'd like to think that I can be pretty cool at times, but I'm not Ben. And at the same time, you know, I can be as laid back as I need to be, but I can't be Mark. And Mark is one of those steady water guys. You know, I can be hyper, but I can't be Rick.
And you'll never be that old.
I mean, one day I'll get there, just not.
He'll always be older, though.
But the point is those guys, seeing them be able to do those things means a whole lot more for the longevity of our church than if I just do all those things. And it's the same thing with you guys. You guys all were saved for a purpose. And God has a plan for your life, and you have an opportunity at this church. Your children have an opportunity, and so do you, to play a part in the kingdom of God and to play a part in what He is trying to do here. And that's a joy for me, to get to watch other people step into roles that they've never been in before. And even if they fail, the opportunity needs to be there. And for our kids, that's a huge thing. They're not going to get everything right. We don't get everything right. And it needs to be okay that they didn't get it right. We just need to help them get it more right and be able to move them forward. So that's one of the joys for mine. How can the church help to accomplish the task of reaching the next generation? And really, this would be more in your specific context, and then I'll try to address some of it from a whole. We'll start with Rick this time.
You see it?
Yeah. You know, they must really love me. Yeah. I think one of the things that we as the church, in reaching this next generation, is that we have to be open. We have to be open to their method of doing things, because it's not going to be the same as the way we do it. And if it is, you know, for 3 years I taught in Greenbrier County back in the Stone Ages. But I was asked to come back and sing at their homecoming, and I'd been gone for 20 years. Maybe. And when I was getting up and I was getting ready to sing, I said, you know, one of the joys that I have is that I don't know a lot of you all out in the congregation. And, you know, some people had moved. Some people had sadly passed away. But that church had continued to reach out to the community and all that. And by them being different, that was a good thing. If they would have been the same when I came back 20 years later, that would have been a problem. Because the church needs, understand, we never change the message. The message has to remain constant. But the methods that we reach the people and that we use may change.
Yeah.
Everything that we use here is a tool. The projectors are a tool. The iPad is a tool.
Yeah.
It's when it becomes more important than the message that that becomes an issue.
Right.
But if we ever look at it, you know, we don't need to look at those things as bad things, because this generation, this next generation, guess how they're learning? You know, this next year in Wood County, K through 8 are all going to have iPads in their hands, or 3 through 8. Isn't it? Is it K through 8 now? So K through 8, they're going to have iPads in their hands, and stuff's going to be projected. We're going to have to learn how to use that stuff, because that's how they're learning. And we're going to have to adapt to that. But it's a tool. And so I think that how the church can help us and help me specifically in that is being open to the different things that we can use and the different things that we can use to reach this generation, this next generation.
I got to read it again. Sorry. No, you're good. I got 2020, buddy. They call me Trump. I got 2020.
Oh my. That was not a political endorsement.
I just lost the tax deduction. That's why I'm not out of here a whole lot. So, I think, well, you know, when you speak of the church, you're including in the quotes you got there. I'm including parents in that; they're part of the church. I think it will help reach the next generation if they, if the parent would do more than just Sunday morning. If it's alive in the home throughout the whole week, I mean, we do a lot of things where ball games and extracurricular activities for our kids and all that. We make sure they're there. We make sure they're there. Why don't we care that much about our church, our Wednesday night services, our Sunday night services? Why are we not doing that? I do remember a quote, probably about the only quote I can remember from Pastor Bill Reed said one time. He said, "We are the last line of defense from the devil getting to the next generation." And in my head, I just picture, who's seen the movie Braveheart?
Yeah, yeah.
It's an old one. Do you see it? You know, and when I think of that line, I think of just all of us Christians, leaders, and churchgoers all lined up, and there's the devil, and the kids are behind us, and we're saying, you ain't touching these kids. They're ours. So it's not just something me and Mark can do with our ministries, but we're Fairlawn's ministries. This isn't Mark's ministries. This isn't Ben's ministry. We're Fairlawn's ministry, and we need the whole help of Fairlawn to accomplish for the next generation.
Yeah.
All right. For the youth, you know, I would agree with everything that's been up here that's been said. As far as how else can you help, prayer is a great way. Please don't forget to pray for these ministries. These are, like we've been talking about, the future. And so the more we get behind that and the more that we're intentionally praying for these ministries, the better off we'll be. Also, volunteers. We've hit on that a little bit. Our youth group is growing, and the dynamics and the age ranges are changing, and so we're going to actually need some more teachers. And so one way you can have a direct way to help accomplish our goals is to let me know if you'd like to be a volunteer to help teach on Sunday mornings. So that's a little plug right there. But also making sure that, you know, our students are here. That it is a fun place to be, and it's important to all of us. And if they see how this is important to you at home, then what we're saying here is going to stick a little bit more. They're going to kind of agree with that a little bit more if they see that from mom and dad. And yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a church, one of the things that we can do is remember that it's not about us. Too often when we're making decisions about what we're going to do, we tend to make a lot of those decisions based off of what I want or what I need. And when it comes to reaching the next generation, we have to ask ourselves more often, well, what do they need? How do we meet their needs? How do we minister to them. So we have to change our focus a little bit. And I don't think that's a Fairlawn problem. I think that's a people problem. I mean, that part of the effects of sin in our lives is that we tend to be very selfish. We tend to focus on us. So we have to intentionally focus on someone else. Otherwise, it will just automatically become about us. So when we focus on those things, that's part of the reason for bringing the kids up and having them do music, for doing Youth Sunday, those things, because it can become very easy to sit in here week after week and forget that that group is even there. And, last week we had 271 people in service in the building. Of that, 79 people were behind those double doors. 79. That's a huge number. Some of those were volunteers, but a lot of those were kids, either from preschool ages all the way up to our senior adults. So we have to remember they're there and be intentional about providing ministries for them and interacting with them. One of the most fun aspects of being the pastor is getting to meet a whole bunch of kids. We have a preschool here that's Monday through Thursday that's FCA, Fairlawn Christian Academy, and a lot of our parents that we currently have, their kids came through that preschool, and I met them there. And getting to meet those kids and see them 4 or 5 years later and how much they've grown or what they're doing now is phenomenal. So it's a great thing if we can keep our focus where it should be. This passage was always one that helped me remember that, and it's Matthew 18:10. It says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." That's a good reminder. The kids are very important to God, and they need to be to us as well. How can we as a church, with that in mind, how can we as a church protect and encourage our children? Whoever wants to start, you can start. Not everybody at once, but.
Rock, paper, scissors.
I'll go. I sound like a little broken record a little bit, but prayer. I believe the power of prayer is just something that you can't break down. And so a good way to help protect and encourage our children is to pray for them. Other ways to help encourage, we had the young ones up here this morning. Every month that has a fifth Sunday, we have the youth students up here participating and doing offering and greeting and whatever it is. Say an encouraging word to them. Let them know that what they're doing is awesome and is cool and how much we appreciate that. It might be different than what we're used to, but that could be a good thing. And just give them that encouragement to let them know that we as a church, we're wrapping our arms around them and we love them. Also, just get to know them a little bit. Ask them some things and don't be afraid to go talk to them. They're not a scary bunch. they're cool, I promise you. So just reach out to them, and I think that goes a long ways because we can have a tendency to feel somewhat isolated. That's the youth group over there. Oh, that's the children's ministry over there. But we're all part of the church. And so I think the more we interact with each other, the more we can all learn, and the more we can all feel that we're on the same team.
Yeah, just to touch on what he said, I totally agree with all that. And I just don't treat them like second-class citizens. I mean, yeah, we hear a lot, they're the future, but they're very much part of it right now. I mean, a lot of times when we do things on stage like we did this morning, Julie and I will get a word like, hey, great job with the kids, but tell them. They did it. I stood there and got off beat with my clapping. I mean, that's how bad I was. Tell them. You could talk to a kid. Like he said, they're not terrible. They're not scary kids. They're not going to bite your ankles unless it's my daughter. But other than that, I mean, I second what he said. Yeah, just make them part of your church. Not the future church, but your church right now.
Amen.
Prayer. You're going to hear that all the time. Meaningful conversations, parents. You know what? that 4 through 14, it sort of hit me, you know, and we'd sort of talked about this the other night at leadership. You know, a lot of times we get our kids through elementary school, and they hit middle school, and we say, oh, they're in middle school. Praise Jesus, my job is done. They're still 14-year-olds when they head to high school. They still fall within that age group of when they are the most able to be, you know, influenced and all that. To me, when they get to, you know, when they get to middle school, and y'all that are parents of middle school parents, you can attest to this, or if you've had them go through, they get hit with a lot in elementary school. Multiply that by about 10 when they hit middle school, and then multiply that by about 100 when they hit high school. Your activity in their lives, and listen, our activity in their lives as a church needs to amp up with each one of those levels, and our time praying for those kids needs to amp up. But then I'm also going to throw out, we need to pray for these two here as well, as they're leading their ministries, and that they are able to reach those kids and make the lessons that they're teaching something that the kids can grab a hold of, because they're the ones that get them prepped to bring them in here along with you parents. And what you do at home, you know, you guys have them for, most of them you have for an hour. There are some of them that you have for two, some of them that you might have for three. That's 3 hours a week that these guys have them, and you have them the rest of that time during the summer. We have them at school during those other times, but what happens during that time at home is a lot more impactful than what can happen here a lot of times. So pray for your parents, pray for your kids, pray for your leaders, pray, pray, pray.
Agreed.
I think that as a church, there's a couple different things that we can do. One is we can provide more opportunities for them to be a part of big church, quote unquote, particularly our children's, because we already kind of have a built-in method for involving our youth on fifth Sundays, but we don't really have a built-in method for involving our children on a regular basis. So we need to come up with something for that, to be able to make that more impactful and more consistent. The other thing is as a church, having some policies in place that protect our kids while we have them, you know, things that keep bad things from happening. It's a church, and we shouldn't have to worry about those things, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't have policies in place that protect against those things. So it's important that we have those things. And then last, just like they said, the fact that these kids absolutely love to hear that they did a good job. I promise they do. You know, most of the time, sometimes as adults, we'll get in our mind that kids are against us because they disagree with us. But you know, most of the time, what they're the most worried about is that you're against them. Well, that's what they're worried about. They couldn't verbalize that, but what they want is your approval. And that goes beyond just parents. And as a church, they want to know that they're welcome in here and what they do matters to you. So it's important to encourage them and let them know that. All right, last question for you guys, then we'll kind of throw it over to me and I'll close us out. But will there come a time when resources will not help as much as time would? And have we reached that time? And really what I mean by that is, you could always come up with the thought process to throw money at something, but that's not always what is lacking the most. And so to me, is there a time that resources won't help? Or are we already at that time? Are you at a place where you need more volunteers? Is it you need more involvement? Or what would you need? Maybe it is resources, and you feel free to say that too. But if it's not resources, what is it that you need? We'll start with Ben on this one. He's sitting there trying not to look at me, so I knew I needed to ask him first.
Well, I think we'd reach that point where time is an issue. We're around 30, 35 kids, sometimes 27 kids a Sunday, which we handle it all pretty good there. But I think sometimes, and I'm probably speaking for Mark and myself here, I feel we do a really good job of what we do, but just imagine what we could do if we had more volunteers that could help us out. And Julie's done a lot for me this week. If I had more people I could hand stuff to, but our own selves, I just think sometimes, like, man, if I could have more time. And we both have full-time jobs and full-time families, but if we just had more time when we were here, doing work and getting things done and calling kids and say, hey, where you been or how you doing, or it's just stuff like that. That's the stuff. I just wish we had more time. I think we've got resources, and we've got resourceful people in our church. Just getting that time to work with them and just the time for more ministry that we can work on ourselves. I'm not asking for a full-time job or nothing, but but I do feel that sometimes I wish I had the more time myself to put into the ministry. And where would it go if we did have that time?
Yeah.
I think resource-wise, we're pretty good right now. We each have a budget for our ministry, and we're typically a little bit under. And so that's saying that we're not overspending what we have. I would, if you had an endless checkbook and you were just saying, hey, you know, if money was no factor, what is there that you would like to have? And I think from a youth standpoint, we've got the Havoc House over there that we've converted and we've made it our own and we love it and it works really well. But we don't have a big game activity room type of thing. We have the garage, which we're going to be doing some work in there to try to make that a little bit more user-friendly, but it's not that big of a space. And so if there was a dream thing that I would say would be something of a gymnasium type of family life center type of thing, whatever you want to call it, where we could do different activities and bigger activities and do things together with larger groups would be great. But also from resource and volunteer-wise, Ben's kind of hitting it on the head. If we had more time to invest in it, would be awesome. If we had some more volunteers that would just be willing to help out, would also be helpful.
Yeah, and I just think a lot of time that we look, they actually work with these ministries here, and I get to work with them a little bit here and there and all that, but I think one of the things is our time is a resource that we can give to these guys here and try to help them out and the different things that they do. And when I look at, the worship side of it and all that, just giving time, maybe to develop their musical talents. A lot of us have talents in here that we're not using. We just sit in a pew on Sunday morning and that's what we do. Think of the example that's setting for the kids here. I mean, we all have, and I'm not saying we're all singers, okay? It does say make a joyful noise. Right? Amen? I love hearing y'all sing. There are times when I can really hear you guys singing on a good praise and worship song that we're doing. I just bask in that. That lifts me up. Imagine what it does for these kids, too, when they hear that coming from the adults. Okay? But it does say make a joyful noise, but maybe your gift is teaching. Maybe your gift is maybe just sitting with a kid one-on-one, or maybe hospitality is your gift. Maybe Mark and him have a lock-in or something, and somebody comes in and provides the breakfast. There are so many avenues that we can take to help these groups out and all that. Maybe you just want to come in and clean up after the lock-in so that these guys don't have to do it. They can go home after that they've been up all night with the kids or Julie and Ben. There's a lot of ways that we can step in and help these ministries and let the kids and the youth that are involved in them know that we care. And maybe sometimes it's stuff that's behind the scenes that maybe they'll never know. Maybe God has blessed you monetarily and you're able to give donations towards these different events that they're doing and all that. God calls each one of us in the talents that he's given us to use those. And I think we need to make sure that we're faithful, because that's another way that we can mentor these kids. Are we out of, do we need more resources? If you look at it that way, yeah, we could always use that, because resources aren't necessarily money. So,
yeah. Well, I'm going to dismiss Ben. He's got a little something special he's going to be doing here at the end of service when you're leaving. But thank you, Ben, for coming up here and being a part of this, and I appreciate it. Just kind of as a kind of to wrap things up, to me, it really comes down to let us invest in our children, in our future, and in the kingdom of God. And I think they're all the same thing. I think an awful lot of the time we focus a lot of our time and energy on adult ministries, and that's good, and we should do that, but we can't do that at the expense of our children. We need to do it, be more intentional about the way that we bring them up and the way we invest in them. So I'm going to ask that you would pray with me about this, that you would commit to pray about this over the next a little bit, but pray with me as a church that we will always seek to make disciples, beginning with our children, and never forget the value of our children in the eyes of God. The bottom line is that God has blessed us with the people that we have and with the children that we have, and it's important that we remember that it is a blessing from God. Nothing has touched my heart quite as much as some of my interactions with your kids and the way that they do things. Even the ones that won't talk to me, the ones that hide behind you or something, they become a challenge for me to figure out some way to get that kid to open up and talk to me or at least give me a high five or something. But they're a blessing. I was blessed in the aspect that this church took very good care of my kids. And I want to make sure that we, as a generation going forward, are that same thing. And one of the reasons why I say to pray about it is because you should pray about whether or not God's calling you to work in that area. I mean, all of us love doing what we do, and we love doing what we do with the kids of this church. But the youngest of us is 40 years old. But Ben is right at 40 years old. So, I mean, it's 42. Oh, my goodness. Okay, the youngest of us is 42 years old. But anyway, the point is there's got to be a generation of 37. You're 37? Oh. Wow. Youngest is 37. Point is, yeah, the oldest we know. Yeah, he's in his 60s, according to Ben. But the point is that at some point, there's likely to come a point for me personally, because as a pastor, I see these things coming down the road at some point. I could see a place where we transition one or both of you guys to some other type of position within the church, because they both provide very good leadership and could in other areas as well. Not just in children, which means someone would have to be there to take over the ministries that they're in. Same thing with Rick. We've talked about this several different times at different leadership meetings that we have about the fact that we need to be training our replacements to a large degree. Doesn't mean that they come in and take our job away. It means they come in and our job changes because they came in. Rick was talking about at some point handing over the stage to some other people and becoming more of a director, less of the leader. Mark may very well transition to that same type of thing or into adult discipleship or something else. Ben may do the same thing or may move to youth. Who knows? I mean, the point is we need to have the ability to use leadership where it can be the most used and where God is calling us to use it. And a lot of the leadership that needs to be in this church is sitting in the pews today. And it's just a matter of you praying about what it is that God has called you to do and then stepping out on what you know He is calling you to do. Because I promise everything we need to be a viable church that concentrates and ministers to all generations, we already have. God doesn't leave us unequipped. He's called this church to minister across generational lines, and He has equipped us to do so. It's our job to answer that call. So I'm going to pray for us, and we'll close out. But thank you guys for all that you do. Thank the Pray Station kids for coming up here and dancing and getting it lively. It's amazing to me because the first song is like everybody in here was like, what do we do? And then the second song, we started to get into it a little bit, and then the third song was better. So it's a learning curve. They taught us something this morning. Worship can be fun. They taught us that, and they can have a lot of energy in it. So I'm going to pray for us, but please be praying for these guys as they lead out in the ministries that they're in, and pray for us as a church that we always have that focus on bringing up that next generation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these guys. I thank you for what they mean to this church. I thank you for these children and what they mean to this church. Lord, I pray that those kids, whether it's youth or children, that they always know how loved they are by not just their pastor, but their God. Lord, thank you for them, for their opportunity to minister in their lives. And Lord, today as we go to this kind of a closing out time of invitation, I would invite our church to come forward and pray to you for our kids and for our kids' leaders. Lord, not just to do it here, but to take that challenge home with them as well and pray. Pray for your kids. Pray for the Fairlawn kids. Pray for our leaders as we try to lead them. Lord, just guide this time as we humble ourselves in prayer before you, knowing your will and asking, Lord, for your direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.